Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Savai, Tavshin Ayin Ches, and we begin on page 1068. We've had a bit of a break for a couple of weeks after Tisha B'Av, the regular summer break, and I was away for a while in Eretz Yisrael. So we're back now. Going to probably have another break very soon with all the Yemim Tevim falling out the way they do. But we're here back this week, and we begin on page 1068. Okay, so we're going to be focusing on the beginning of the Parsha. We're going to go through the Psukim and many of the Rashis. And the quick introduction is the fact that the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is the mitzvah in which the first fruits that we produce that are produced in the land of Israel are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given to the Kohen. So the Pasuk begins, V'hayaki savoy al ha'aretz, and it shall be when you come to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Neitzen Locha Nachla, that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance, V'rishta, you will possess it, V'yashavtava, and you will live in it. So Rashi comments that the first Pasuk is teaching us that the mitzvah Bikurim only begins when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you possess it and you dwell in it. That means that the Jewish people do not become obligated in the mitzvah of Bikurim until they enter the land, they conquer the land, and they divided the land. Immediately upon entering the land, they were not obligated in the mitzvah. It was only after conquering, and the land was divided up after conquering amongst all the tribes, and everybody got their land, and everybody settled down, that is when the mitzvah of Bikurim began. Which also is implicit that the mitzvah of Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Next pasuk. You shall take from the first of all the fruits of the land, asher tavi me'artzecha, that you will bring in from your land, asher Hashem Elokecha Neitzen Loch, that Hashem your God gives you, v'samta batene, and you shall place it in a basket, v'halachta l'makoyim, and you shall then go to the place, asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem your God will choose, l'shaken shemo yisham, to dwell his name there. So the Torah tells us you will take from the first of all the fruits of the land. And Rashi focuses on the fact that the pasuk is saying you will take from the fruits of the land, but from the first fruits, from the first of the fruits of your land. So Rashi says, may reishis, from the first, v'loy kol reishis, but not all of the first. She'ein kol ha'peretz chem v'ikurim l'shivas ha'minim v'alvad. The fruits of Eretz Yisrael that one is obligated to bring Bikurim from are only what we call the Shivas Haminim, the seven species. The seven species of produce that Eretz Yisrael is praised for. If you grow tomatoes, if you grow apples in Eretz Yisrael, oranges, there is no mitzvah Bikurim from those. Bikurim only comes from what we call the Shivas Haminim, the seven species, which are wheat, barley, grapes, olives, dates, and figs. Those are the Shivas Haminim. Bikurim only comes from them. And Rashi says we derive it from the fact that Torah says, May Rashis. Doesn't say bring the first of all your fruits, but from the first of your fruits. From implies from some, but not from all. To the exclusion, which means we're including only the seven, the Shivas Haminim, the seven species, and not any other produce. The Sefornu also says, it's from this verse that we learn that the mitzvah Bikurim only applies to the Shivas Haminim, to the seven specific fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But he actually says that we derive it from the fact that the word Meireishis from the first, he actually seems to interpret that Reishis first in this concept means choice, the best. So Meireishis kol pri adama means from the best of all your fruits. What is the best of your fruits? The Shivas Haminim, the seven species, the seven special fruits, the seven best fruits of the land of Israel. That's how the Sefornu explains. So both Rashi and Sefornu explain that the Pasuk is teaching us that you only may be Kurim from these seven species. Rashi derives it from the Meireishis, from the first, which implies from some and not from others. And the Sefornu says that the word Reishis, Meireishis, means from the choice, which he says, HaMeshubach HaMeshubachol Perei Seha, the choicest, the best of all the fruits. What are the best of all the fruits of the land of Israel? The Shivas Haminim, the seven species again of wheat, barley, grapes, olives, dates, figs, and pomegranates. I think I forgot pomegranates the first time. Okay, and pomegranates. Okay. That's the first part of the pasuk. That's Mereshis Kol Peri Hu Adama. Now, Rashi also comments on the word Mereshis. And this is Rashi in the right column. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the right column in Rashi. Mereshis, from the fruit. Here Rashi is going to come to explain the following issue. Okay, so we just said the Mereshis from the first tells us, but not from all fruits. But the Torah says Reishis from the first. It doesn't say you shall take from the fruits of your land. It says from the first fruits of your land. So first means, according to Rashi, Rashi says that means that you're not going to take from all the Shivas Haminim. You're going to take from the first of the Shivas Haminim, from the first ones to ripen. So Rashi says like this, Mereshis, Adam yoyred l'seich sadehu, a person goes down into his field, v'roya teina shebichra, and he sees a fig that has ripened. Korech aleha gemi l'simin, he ties on it some kind of gemi, which is some kind of stringy material, as a sign. V'oyim arezi bikurim, and declares this is bikurim. Rashi says the process of deciding the fruit for bikurim is, you walk into your field, you see the ripened fruit, now, and you make a mark around it, and you say, this is going to be Bikurim. So, the commentaries explain that what Rashi is coming to explain here is that, again, the word Reishis doesn't say, again, it doesn't say you'll take from the fruits of your land. It takes you'll take from the first of the fruits of their land. Which means you're not taking from any of the fruits or from any of the Shivas Haminim. You're taking from the first, the ones that first ripen. Okay? Now, first ripen doesn't mean, or from the first in the sense of ripening, isn't going to mean first, you know, before it's ripe. It doesn't make sense that before it's, that's not logical that before it's ripe, before it's ready, that you would now make that for, bring that for Bikurim, or even designate that for Bikurim. And therefore, it's clear that you're bringing from the ripened fruits. That's from the first of your fruits, means from the first of your ripened fruits. But by the time things ripen, how do you know which was first and which was last? How are you going to know?
I always assume that you pick the best.
It could be the best too, but it's the first. It's the first. And therefore, how are you going to know it's the first? Right? We want it to be ripened. We probably want it to be from the best that are ripe. We want it to be ripened. But by the time things ripen, how are you going to know which one's the first, which one wasn't the first? The answer is, Rashi says, very simple. You're going to go into your field. You're going to check. You're going to see, oh, there's a ripened one. You're going to take something to mark it off. You're going to take something and wrap it around and say, this is Bikurim, and then you're eventually going to pick it off and use it for Bikurim. So you're going to go ahead, and apparently, again, it doesn't seem that it was practical to go ahead and just, you know, when you saw that it ripened, just pick it off and take it. Maybe you wanted to stay there a little bit longer, but to make sure you didn't lose track of which one ripened first, you're going to go ahead and take make some kind of a sign. Tie something around it to make sure that you keep track of which one was the first one that actually ripened. Okay. Now, the pasuk then continues and says, you're going to bring from the first of all the fruits of the land that you'll bring from your land, v'samta batena, you're going to put it into a basket, v'halachta l'amokim, you're going to go to the place that Hashem, your God, chooses. Where is the place that Hashem, your God, chooses to dwell His name? The Beis HaMikdash. That's where you're going to bring these first fruits. Now, the pasuk says, and you're going to put it in a basket. Now, why is the Torah telling us that? The Torah says, you're going to take from your first fruits, and you're going to bring it to the place that Hashem chooses. Why does it have to tell us to place it in a basket? Bring it whatever way you're going to bring it. What's it relevant? And the answer is that actually these words, v'samta batena, are teaching us a halacha, that bikurim must be brought in a vessel. Even if you only have a little bit of bikurim, you can't just bring it in your hand. You have to put it into a vessel. The Torah dictates that bikurim must be brought in a vessel. And the Rambam writes that actually the best way to bring it is each one of the species should have its own vessel. The grapes should have their own vessel. The pomegranates should have their own vessel. If at the end of the day you put them all in the same vessel and bring them, you still have fulfilled the mitzvah. But for Samta Batena, when the Torah says put it into a basket, the Torah is necessitating the mitzvah has to be done that you bring them in a vessel. You don't bring them in your hand. I'm assuming that means you don't bring them in your pocket. You know, it means you have to give it, bring it in a vessel. Each and again, preferably, each one of the fruit, each different type of fruit should get its own vessel. Okay. Now, next pasuk. We're now up to pasuk Dalet. I'm sorry. We're up to pasuk Gimel. Uvasa el kohen asher yia bayomim ha'hem. You shall come to the kohen that will be in those days. V'amar to elav, and you shall say to him, Higadati hayom la'Hashem elokecha. I declare today to Hashem your God, Kivasi al ha'aretz, that I have come to the land, Asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu la'seslanu, that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give to us. All right, so far the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to bring Bikurim once we settle, conquer and settle the land. We take from the first fruits of the land, again from the Shivas Haminim, we place them in a basket, we go to the Beis HaMikdash. You come to the Kayin that will be in those days, and you say to him, I declare today to Hashem your God, I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give to us. So there's this declaration. You come to the Beis HaMikdash, you approach the Kohen, and you make this declaration. I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to give to our forefathers. That I swore to our forefathers to give to us. That's step number one. Step number one is you walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you make this declaration to the Kohen. Now the Torah describes this Kohen as the Kohen Asher Yia Bayomim Ahem. You shall come to the Kohen that will be in those days. You would think you're going to speak to the Kohen from those days, not from previous days or from future days. What does it mean you'll speak to the Kohen from those days? What other Kohen would you be speaking to? Now it's interesting to note that there was a similar wording that was used in a previous parasha. That's in Parashas Shaftim. I believe it's in Parashas Shaftim. Don't remember exactly where it is. But there's another pasuk that says that you will come to the shofet, to the judge that will be in those days. And there again, why is the Torah saying the judge of those days? And Rashi comments there that the Torah is saying the judge of those days is because a person might say, well, you know, the judges, the rabbis from the present day, they don't compare to the rabbis of the previous generation. And therefore, you may hesitate or not want to go ask them the questions that you should. And therefore, the Torah says, no, you go to the judge of those days, and the judge of those days is the judge that Hashem has given for those days, and he may not be like the previous generations, but he is still worthy of your list of your asking questions to him and listening to him. All right, so there we can understand that there's a reason why the Torah wants to say to the judges of those days. Because of the fact that you may make a reason to say, why should this judge is nothing like the previous judges. He's not as great as him. He's not as knowledgeable. Why should I go to him? Torah says, no, you still got to go. But what's the difference if the Kohen is as big as the Kohen from before? Is he as great as the previous Kohanim? Not as great? Is as great? What's it got to do with the Kohen? That's the Ramban's question. So the Sefornu also explains like Rashi, and he elaborates a little bit more. The Sefornu elaborates that the reason why the Torah is talking about the Kohen of those days is because of the way that you are addressing the Kohen. The Torah says that you're going to say to this Kohen, Higadati hayom la'Hashem Elokecha. I declare to Hashem your God. Now, of course, it doesn't mean your God, not my God. But actually, your God means you have this very special relationship with God. I declare before Hashem, your God, Hashem, that you have a special relationship with. That's a very respectful and honorable way to speak to someone. Someone who is not deserving of that kind of description, you wouldn't say it to. A person who is of a high spiritual stature, you'll say, Hashem, your God. When I'm not such high spiritual stature, you wouldn't say that to. So the thing says the Sefernu, the issue at hand is that what if the Kohen doesn't really deserve to be spoken that way? He doesn't deserve to say, Hashem, your God. He's not the kind of person like that. So the Sefernu says, Af al pi shoyia goda b'chachma, although this Kohen may not be so great in wisdom, do not refrain from speaking to him in an honorable way when you say, Hashem, your God. Although this is only said to people of high stature like kings and prophets, those are the kind of people we would say, Hashem, your God. And let's say the Kohen is not of that stature. The Torah is saying, you still speak to him that way. Nonetheless, being that when you bring him the bikurim, you give it to him, it's like giving it to Hashem, who is the true master of the land, it is appropriate you speak to him in this manner, in this honorable way. So you might have thought that maybe if the Kohen is not so great, don't say the words, I declare before Hashem your God. Torah says, no, you still say Hashem your God. Because even if he really isn't deserving of that kind of a title, of that kind of description, being that he is the representative of Hashem, being that when you give the Kohen the Bikurim, it's like you're giving it to God, the master of the land, since he represents Hashem, therefore it is appropriate to speak to him in this very honorable manner. So therefore, the reason why the Torah has to say, you'll come to the Kohen that will be in those days, is to stress that even a Kohen of those days, you will come and say to him, I declare today before Hashem your God that I have come I declare today to Hashem your God. You will say Hashem your God to the Kohen, even though personally he will not be worthy of that kind of way of being spoken to. But since he represents Hashem, when you give him the Bikurim, it's like giving it to Hashem, therefore he is spoken in that very honorable way. Okay, so that's the explanation to those words. Now, Rashi comments on the words that you're going to come to the Kohen and you're going to say to him. So if you look at Rashi, again in the column to the right, three lines from the bottom, V'amar to Elav, you will say to him, you will say to the Kohen, what are you, so now let's again look at the words. You'll come, the Torah could have said, you'll come to the Kohen, they'll be in those days, and you'll say to him, I declare today before Hashem your God. Okay? So Rashi is telling us, V'amar to Elav, you will say to him, what are you saying to him? What are you trying to accomplish here? She'encha kafoy toiva. You're speaking to him right now. What you're about to say to him right now, I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give us. You are saying that to him. Why? Because you're trying to show she'ein chakafutay. You are not an ingrate. You are ready to express your gratitude to Hashem. And that's what you're saying. I declare today before Hashem your God that I have come to the land, that I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers. V'amar to love, you're saying it to him. Your purpose here of saying this is to declare you are not an ingrate. And what are you saying to express your gratitude to Hashem? I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give to us. So in what way do those words express our gratitude to Hashem? So the commentary of Sifsei Chacham, the commentary of Rashi says that what you're saying when your declaration of I declare today that I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give to us is I'm saying we don't have this land because we conquered it and we had the strength and the ability to conquer it. I'm not taking credit. We're not taking credit for our taking the land. We are declaring today I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give to us. He's the one who's giving it to us. It's not we who are taking it. We're not taking any credit. We're not applying it to our might, to our prowess. It is all because we are here, because Hashem has sworn to our forefathers to give it to us. He is the one who has given it to us. The Sefornu, on these words, he explains like this. Ashenish Hashem l'Avosenu l'Seis Lanu, that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give to us. Ka'amrei, as he said, V'nasati l'chol ezarach acharecha. Hashem told to Avram, I will give to you and to your children after you. U'lefikach, therefore, ani hager, this is the person bringing the Bikram speaking, I, the stranger, Shabasi al ha'aretz l'taishav, I have become a native of the land, b'kayach matanasai, by the power of God's gift. Heivesia bikurim haru'uyin, I have now brought the first, the ripened fruits that are haru'uyim, that are appropriate, l'noitzin karka b'matana, to one who gives a piece of land as a gift, oy barisis, or as a sharecropper. When the Sfornu says that when the person says, I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give to us, the person is saying I'm not native here. I didn't get this land because, you know, I took it, my forefathers took it, or somewhere my forefathers settled here. We are here because Hashem promised it to Abraham. So I am basically my status as a native of the land is because Hashem gave it to us. Well, if Hashem gave it to us, the appropriate thing now is to now give the first fruits that you would give l'noisin karkav matana, to one who gives land as a gift or to a sharecropper. It seems from the way the Sefornu is explaining is that if somebody gives you a gift of land, so how do you kind of reciprocate? How do you pay back? How do you show him your gratitude? You give him from the fruits of that land. And if you're a sharecropper, then you really have to give him the fruits of the land, because you really weren't gifted the land to own it. You're a sharecropper. You give him the land, you're going to work it, you're going to keep some of it for yourself, and give some of it to him. So the Sefornu is saying that when you are declaring, when you first come to the Beis Hamikdash, you declare, I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn to our forefathers, what you're saying is, my whole right to the land is because Hashem has given it to me. It's a gift from Hashem. That's my whole right to the land. Abraham came from a different place. Abraham was born, my ancestor was born in a different place. The reason why he owns this land is because Hashem gave it to him. So in essence, the only reason I am a native of this land is because Hashem gave it as a gift. Well, if Hashem gave it as a gift, then it's appropriate that I'm bringing these fruits, as a expression of gratitude to the one who gifted me the land. That would be one status. Or the other status is as a sharecropper. And this, it would seem to me that what the Sefornu is saying on this point is that what the person Rabbi Bikurim is saying is that in essence, I don't really own the land. I'm just being given the land to work. It's Hashem's land. He gives it to me to work to produce fruit. Well, if it's really his land and I'm just working on the land, then it makes sense. I got to give him back some of the produce. That's what a sharecropper does. That would be an even higher level in which in the sense that a person doesn't even say I was gifted the land. I'm just kind of borrowing it. I'm using it from the owner. And if I'm using it from the owner, then the appropriate thing is you give back to the owner from the land that you're working on. But either way, the Sefornu is saying that what's being said here is that I have come to the land is the way the person says that I recognize I am only in Eretz Yisrael because Hashem gifted it, and therefore now I reciprocate, I show my gratitude for that gift. Now, I just heard a very interesting explanation, a very interesting question. And that question, you know, coming back from Eretz Yisrael, it was a very appropriate thought to see. And that thought is, okay, that thought is that the wording is, you're going to come to the Kohen and you're going to say, I declare today to Hashem that I have come to the land that Hashem has sworn. Now, those words, you say, I have come to the land. That sounds like the person who basically just came out of the desert and he entered Eretz Yisrael. and it took time to conquer and settle. I'm fine. I've come to the land. What happens 100 years later? What happens 200 years later? When somebody's been living in the land for years and years and years. So he still says, I have come to the land? I mean, I've come to the land. I've been on the land for a long time already. What does it mean? How does he say the words, Kivasi, I have come to the land? So Rav Shlomi Yosef Kahaneman, Zatzal, known as the Panavizhe Rav, he explained that what the Torah is bringing out is that even if you've been living in Eretz Yisrael for many years, it should be as fresh and exciting to you like you just came. You should always be in a state of, I have come to the land. You should always be looking at Eretz Yisrael with that very excited and fresh and joyous look. Just like when you first arrived there. We know we're supposed to always look at the whole Torah as something new and fresh. But there's something unique about being in Eretz Yisrael, in which even if you've been there for years and you can start becoming complacent and used to things, that in essence that you should be saying, I have come to the land. I'm still in a state as if I have just come. I still appreciate and love Eretz Yisrael with the same freshness like first coming. Okay. Now, an interesting point that's brought out from by Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz. And the point that he makes is like this. Let's read it a little bit further and then we'll get to that. Pasuk Dalet. V'lakach ha-koyin ha-tenem yadecha, the koyin will take the basket from your hand, v'hinichai l'pnei mizbach Hashem alaykecha, and he shall place it before the altar of Hashem your God. So Rashi comments on these words, the koyin will take the basket from your hand, that what that really means is that before he takes it from your hand, like the Pasuk says, and he puts it before the altar, he actually places, you're holding the basket, and he places his hands under your hands, and together you do what's called tenufa, waving. Like we wave a lulav on Sukkos, that's what you now do at the Bikurim. You wave them in all the same directions, up, below, and off, in all four directions. That's part of the mitzvah Bikurim. You have to wave the Bikurim. When you first bring the Bikurim, you do it together with the Kohen. The Kohen has his hands under your hands, and you wave the Bikurim. And after that is done, the Kohen takes it, and he puts the basket with the Bikurim in front of the altar. Pasuk Hey, v'anisa v'amarta, you shall then raise your voice. Rashi says v'anisa means you raise your voice and you will say, l'fnei Hashem elokecha, before Hashem your God, arami oved avi, the arami destroyed my father, v'yered mitzrayma, and he went down to Egypt, v'yagar shabim mitzrayimaat, he lived there and he settled there, few in number, v'yisham l'goy gadol atzam v'rov, and he came there a great, strong and numerous people, nation. Okay. What we're about to do right now is, the Pasuk is going to describe what's called Mikra Bikurim, the declaration of Bikurim. When you bring Bikurim, you know, when you first came in there, you make this declaration to the Kohen, and then after the waving and after the putting it down on the ground, the Torah says, you're now going to make another declaration. Vanisa, you're going to say it, Bekol Ram, Rashi says, you're going to say it in a loud voice. There's going to be a declaration where you're going to declare your thanks to Hashem for what's been given to you. Now, Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz has a very interesting point here, and that is that as we understand that the point of Bikurim is what we call Hakaras HaTov, showing your gratitude to Hashem for what He's given you, and this gratitude is expressed to Hashem not in your heart, but rather with your mouth. You're declaring it. You're not just thinking it. You're not just feeling it. You're saying it. You have to express your gratitude. Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch said, not only do you express your gratitude to Hashem, you have to express your gratitude to another person. Gratitude is not enough to have in your heart and to be ready to do anything for this person because of what he did for you. You actually have to express it to him, because that's what we see here. We see here that the way that your hakaras of your gratitude is not just done in your heart and just bringing the fruit, but rather you're actually going to make a whole declaration of thanking Hashem. And Rabbi Yochanan says that is what you have to do anytime you have to express gratitude to anybody. It should be expressed. It should be said. You know, he writes that it seems that there are people that were kind of hesitant to express her gratitude, because I kind of felt, well, you know, saying thank you kind of, you know, people just say it, they don't really mean it, and therefore kind of, you don't want to just look at the person who's just trying to flatter and talking and not meaning what you say, and therefore there are people who kind of hesitated to really express their thanks. And therefore he said, no, but that's not right. Yeah, it is possible that saying thank you becomes kind of hearsay, like thank you means like, you know, just mean, it's just etiquette, and it's just being said without any kind of thought, without any kind of feeling. It's possible. But the truth is that a person is supposed to express their gratitude. And not just, they're supposed to express it. And the way he says it is that, you know where else we find that you express your gratitude? The Pesach Seder. What's the Pesach Seder about? What's the Haggadah about? The Haggadah is about expressing our thanks to Hashem. It's about showing our gratitude. And what do we say there? And what do we do by the Seder? We don't just sit there and read the Haggadah. We say the Haggadah. We discuss the Haggadah. And not only that, the Haggadah itself tells us, V'chol ha'mar b'lasapar b'siyas Mitzrayim. And the more you speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim, harayz ha'mishuach, the more praiseworthy you are. That means that the Pesach Seder is an example that when it comes to expressing gratitude, which is what the Pesach Seder is about, which is about what telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is about, we're supposed to be marbe. We should definitely express it and be ready to express it and express it a lot. I have someone that constantly thanks me, gives me a whole megillah each time. And the truth is, you know, but he's doing the right thing from his part. Now I can say, all right. But he's doing the right thing. If a person truly feels gratitude, it should be expressed, and it should be expressed in a very gracious way. A person should say thank you. A person should, the way Rabbi Yochanan says it is, you should thank a person and say, "I'm indebted to you for the rest of my life what you did for me," and you should mean it. That's what he says you should do it. So you shouldn't just, you know, it shouldn't just be a person shouldn't say to themselves, oh, "He knows what I feel." And whenever he needs something, I'm going to take care of anything that he needs. You have to express your gratitude. Now, when you express it, be gracious with it. Be ready to say, thank a person a lot for what they've done to you, for you. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch, when he discusses this mitzvah of the declaration of Bikurim, the Sefer HaChinuch explains also the idea of expressing. And this is what I read from an English translation of the Sefer HaChinuch. It is from the root of the commandment that it is since a man arouses his thoughts and draws the truth in his heart with the power of the words of his mouth. Therefore, in that God did good to him, and in that he blessed him and his land to bear fruits, and he merited to bring the fruits to the house of our God, is appropriate for him to arouse his heart with the words of his mouth and ponder that everything arrived to him for the master of the universe, and he recount his kindnesses may be blessed upon us and upon the people of Israel more generally. Basically, the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that since a man arouses his thoughts and draws the truth in his heart with the power of the words of his mouth, when you express something, that's really what makes an impression on your heart, and what he says arouses a person's thoughts. Now again, we know you can think about something without expression, but it would seem that the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that when you express an idea, that is where the idea now really becomes strongly embedded in your heart, and it arouses stronger feelings in your heart. You will now feel more what you are thinking if you express it. And that is what you should be doing when you are thanking Hashem for what he's given you and what he's given the people of Israel generally. Therefore, he begins with the subject of Yaakov, our father, whom God... Okay, we didn't read that part yet. But the point is, he says, and from the arousal of his soul with the praise of God and his goodness, he will merit that his land be blessed. Therefore, God commanded us about this, since He desires our kindness. Hashem wants our good, and when we feel His good, when we feel gratitude for His good, we recognize His good. He blesses us with more good. The way that we actually the way that we're going to be aroused, our thoughts are going to truly be aroused, and we're going to impress upon our hearts the truth. How does that happen? With expression. And therefore, that could also be the explanation why, as Rabbi Yochanan says, when you thank someone, you should express it. Because again, expression is what takes our thoughts and what builds them up, what arouses them, what gives them strength, and makes the greatest impression upon our hearts. You want to mean what you're going to say? You want to mean what you think? You really want to think it? You really want to feel it? You want it to really be true by you and embedded in you? You express it. You say it. And that's why the Torah here told us that when we are to show our gratitude to Hashem for what He's given us, we're showing our gratitude through expression and action. Not just expression. It's going to be expression and action. Expression is what we say. The action is the giving of the first fruits. Okay. So let's now go back to Pasuk. Let's go back to reading some of the Pasukim. And this is again Pasuk A. Va'anisa va'amarta, and you shall raise your voice and you shall say, you shall raise your voice, you shall say before Hashem, your God, Arami Ovid Ovi. Rashi explains, Arami Ovid Ovi means, the person from Aram destroyed my father. Who is the person from Aram destroyed my father? Rashi says, Lavan, Yaakov's father-in-law. When Yaakov went to run away from Esav, and he went to Lavan, where did Lavan live? In Aram. It's there where Yaakov built his family. It was there that Yaakov ran away. And when Yaakov ran away, what did Lavan do? Lavan chased after him. If not for Hashem appearing to Lavan in a dream, Lavan would have killed Yaakov. And therefore, the first of the praises that we say to Hashem, we're going to be praising Hashem and thanking Hashem for what He's given us. Well, we don't just say the more recent thing, we go back in history to what He's done for us. And what did He do? The first problems that we found ourselves in was Arami Abiravi. The person from Aram, Lavan, destroyed my father. He wanted to destroy my father. He tried to kill my father. Now, that was problem number one. Vayevud Mitzrayim. The next thing is, the next problems that my ancestors faced was that Yaakov went down to Egypt. Vayagar Shem Mitzrayim Ma'at. He dwelled there with few in number. Vayishom Lagai Gadol Atzim Varav. And he became a great and powerful nation. And because of that, Vayareyu Asano HaMitzrim Vayanunu. The Egyptians dealt that harshly with us, and they afflicted us. And they put upon us difficult work. We cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. Hashem heard our voices. He saw our affliction, and our toil, and our oppression. If this sounds familiar to you, it's what we read. We read this on Pesach, in the Pesach Seder. At the Pesach Seder, we actually take apart every word and we explain what each one is referring to. We just read, Hashem heard our cries, He saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. What are those three things exactly? That's what the Pesach Seder breaks and explains each one. Next, Pasuk, Vayitzeinu Hashem in Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt, Biyar Chazak Rezona Tuya, with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, with a Mayre Gadol, and with great awesomeness, with signs and wonders. And He brought us to this place. And He gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's stop for a second on this pasuk. The pasuk says two things. He brought us to this place, and He gave us this land. What is this place, and what is this land? So this place, Rashi says, is the Beis HaMikdash. And this land, of course, is Eretz Yisrael. We are expressing our thanks to Hashem for bringing us to the Beis HaMikdash, where He's standing right now, and to giving us the land of Eretz Yisrael, the land flowing with milk and honey. Vata, and now, Hinehevesi Esreishas Pri Adama, behold, I bring the first of the fruits of my land, Ashenasatali Hashem, that you have given me. That's the end of the declaration. So He's gone through a quick synopsis of history, to the point of coming to the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, and now, at this point, I bring you the first of the fruits of my land that you have given me. I express my thanks to you, my gratitude, Hashem, by placing before you the first fruits of the land that you have given me. Now, the Sephornu here in this entire synopsis of history has a very interesting explanation to what is the point of each step here. So, the Sephora explains like this. Going back, let's to the beginning. The beginning was Arami Oyvedavi. That was the first thing that the person reading the Bukharim says. Arami Oyvedavi. So Rashi says, Arami Oyvedavi means the man from Aram destroyed or tried to destroy my grandfather. The Sfurdu says, Arami Oyvedavi means my father was lost in Aram. Arami Oyvedavi. My father was lost in Aram. What does that mean? Hini Avi Shoyayakov, my forefather Jacob, Hayizman Ma Arami Oyvet. For a time he was lost in Aram. Shehayaloi Beis Meshav. He didn't really have his own place. Uvachelo Hayamucha Lahamid Goy Roy Lebesha Saaretz. At that point he was not worthy or capable of establishing a nation that's going to take possession of a land. You know, some homeless person, some stranger in a land who doesn't really have his own place is not the person that you would think to be destined to be the patriarch of a nation and its own land. Next, we went down to Egypt. We were afflicted and hard work was put on us. Rashi says, "Va'achar shoyu l'goy." Okay, eventually Yaakov became a nation, right? Became his own little tribe. He really wasn't worthy of now receiving any kind of gift. He was a slave, right? He may have been a nation, but he was enslaved. More than just a tribe. Again, we know that in Egypt, they multiplied, they became many, they became great. But they were enslaved. If you're a slave, you can't get a gift. Whatever a slave gets, his master gets. So again, Yaakov Avinu was still, even though he became a nation, he still wasn't, again, worthy of receiving a land as a gift because they were slaves. Okay. Now, what happened? Hashem took us out, and then he brought us to this land and gave us this place. Rashi, to what is this for? And he says, what lies in these words? And he gave us a land. Gave us this land. After we finally left the bondage of Egypt, we had nowhere to go. We had no land to dwell in. And Hashem gave us a land, and a very special land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, v'ata, now that I know the great, your great goodness and kindness upon us, you made us into a nation worthy, capable of taking possession of a land, to take us out from Egypt. You took us out of bondage, you made us free men, so now we're capable of receiving a gift. And what did you give us? You gave us a land that is best, the greatest of all. The whole point of the Sephardim is saying, the whole point of this Mikra Bikurim is to show how humble our beginnings were, and how basically unworthy and incapable and completely no one in the world would ever think from our beginnings that we should ever land up the way we are. We were first, my grandfather was lost in a land. Finally, he became, you know, and clearly not someone that could become the patriarch of a nation. His family grows, he becomes like a nation, but enslaved, incapable of receiving a gift. Finally, they're free men, but they have nowhere to go. And they're given the best land around. Said, that's what the person says. I recognize all this. Now that I'm here, I recognize all this. And therefore, behold, I have brought the first of the fruits that you have given me, Hashem. Hevesi mivchar peiros, oisa haaretz, shenasatali. The Sephardim following what he explained before. I have brought the best of the fruits of this land that you have given me. Let's say, stoyu l'shmecha, allow to give thanks to your name for it. I am bringing the fruits, these choicest fruits of the land. Why do I bring it to you? This is the culmination. This is what I bring to express to you thanks for what you've given to me. There is no way we could have ever thought, based on our history, that we should ever have received this land. You've given us a special land, and therefore I now bring you the fruits of the land to give thanks to your name for the land, over the land. That's as Sephorinu explains this mikra, this declaration. Going through this synopsis of history is not just, you know, thanking Hashem for other parts of our history. It's all parts. It's the buildup to express, what am I bringing these bikurim for? I'm bringing these bikurim to express my recognition of this tremendous gift of Eretz Yisrael that you've given us. A land that we could never have expected based on our beginnings to have ever have had. We could never have expected it. We went from stage to stage in which things got closer, but we still weren't there. And finally, we came to the point where you gave us a land, you made us worthy, capable, and you gave us the best land around. And therefore, I give you thanks for that by bringing the fruit of the land that you've given me. The best of the fruits of the land you've given me. So, if I were to ask you the following question. When I bring Bikurim, when we bring Bikurim, as an expression of thanks to Hashem, what are we thanking Hashem for? The fruits or the land? What?
The land.
It sounds from the Sephornu that it's about the land. And the way that you express your thanks for the land is, well, if the land doesn't produce fruits, you're not going to feel very thankful for the land. It's when you have the fruits that are being produced from the land is producing the fruits, that is when you can really feel that thanks for the land. That's the point, but it seems from the Sephornu, the word of the Sephornu, that we're talking about this land, we never could have expected this land, and you gave us the best of the land, and the wording of the Sephornu is, behold, I now give you the choice fruits of that land that you have given me to give thanks to your name, Aleha, over it, for it, on it. Seems to me, or at least we definitely could say in the Sephornu, that the thanks of Bikurim is thanking Hashem. The thanks is really a thank for Eretz Yisrael. From the chinuch that I spoke with you before, the way he makes it sound like just when he was talking about, you know, the point of expressing is that when you express your thanks to Hashem, the wording was, therefore, in that God did good to him, and in that he blessed him and his land to bear fruits, in order to bring the fruits of the house of the God, it's appropriate to praise his heart. Right. It seems to me from the wording of the chinuch that the chinuch is saying that the thanks is for the fruits. That's for thanking Hashem for the fruits. Now, this Sephornu sounds like we're thanking Hashem for the land itself. But okay, either way. So that's again how the Sephornu learns this. Now let's just finish up here. Let's read the last pasuk. And the pasuk reads. All right. Actually, let's go back to pasuk Yud. Va'ata, and now hine hevesi es reishis pri adama. Behold, I have brought the first of the fruits of the land. Asher nasata li Hashem, that you have given me Hashem. V'hinachtoi, and he places it, the basket, lefnei Hashem elokecha, before Hashem. V'hinachtoi. And he said, you shall lay it. V'inachtoi, and you shall lay it before Hashem your God. V'shtachavis, and you shall bow the Hashem elokecha before Hashem your God. Now, before, it says here, v'inachtoi, and you should place it. Now, before we read the Kayim, place it before the Mizbeach. And now it says, you're placing it. So Rashi explains, yeah, basically, the Kayim puts that in front of the Mizbeach. And then when you make this declaration that we just went through, you pick up the basket and you hold it. You pick up the basket and you hold it while you're making the declaration. You also then wave it again, as you did before, but this time yourself and not the Kohen. Then again, you put it down in front of the Mizbeach. And what happens to those fruits? They are not put on the altar, they go to the Kohanim. Bikurim are just like Truma, they belong to the Kohanim, and a non-Kohen may not eat them. And because of that, let's see Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'samachta b'chala toiv, you shall rejoice in all the good. Asher nasa lecha Hashem elokecha l'beisecha, that Hashem your God has given you and your household. Ata v'halevi, you and the levi, v'hager Hashem b'kerbecha, and the convert that is in your midst. Now, if we read this Pasuk again, let's just read the words. You will rejoice with all the good that Hashem has given you and your household, you and the levi and the ger. Sounds like you're all rejoicing together. which is a similar, which what we have by Yontif. It says, you'll rejoice with the ger, with the lady, with the convert, with the widow, with the orphan. So it sounds like you're going to be all rejoicing together. But it can't mean that. You can't rejoice with your bikurim with the lady, because you can't eat it, and the lady can't eat it. So you're not rejoicing with it. So what it means there for Rashi says is you're rejoicing. Again, because of the bikurim, because you have these first fruits, right? That means you've had a produce, you're going to rejoice over the produce. But what does the Torah say? But what the Torah is, what lies in what the Torah is saying, you'll rejoice at all the good, says Rashi, is actually teaching us the following. And that is that we have read that you bring the bikurim and you make the declaration. The Torah is saying you'll rejoice, means you're rejoicing and you will rejoice over what Hashem has blessed you with. Means to say, brought down here after the reading of the bikurim, is to teach us that if you bring that when you that there's a certain period of time, the certain period of time that you rejoice over what Hashem has given you, the harvest time, okay, is the time that you rejoice over the produce. That extends, that harvest time goes from Shavuos until Sukkot. If you bring Bikurim within that period of time, you will also make this declaration. When you're in that state of joy, that's when you make this state of declaration of thanking Hashem, and you do it with the joy that you have over the harvest. But if you didn't bring the Bikurim until after Sukkot, you'll bring the Bikurim, but you're not going to say this declaration. Declaration is only said at the point of time that you are rejoicing. Now, then the Pasuk says, and the Levi and the convert. That means that this what we've been talking about until now, everything that's done in the rejoicing is done by a Levi too. That means a Levi also has to bring Bikurim. And the point of that is that we know Levi doesn't, the tribe of Levi didn't have their own piece of land, right? They were all given pieces of land within the tribes. So we might have thought that the tribe of Levi doesn't have its own portion of the land of Israel. Perhaps they don't have the mitzvah bikurim. The Torah says, no, they do. They have the mitzvah bikurim. Then it says the ger, the convert. The convert has a mitzvah bikurim. Why not? He's a Jew. Why shouldn't he? He's got to own a piece of land if he's bringing bikurim. He's no different than the Levi in that sense. So why is the Torah mentioning the ger? And therefore, Rashi learns that the reason why the Torah mentioned the ger is actually to bring out a point about a ger bringing bikurim that's different than everybody else. And that is, Rashi says, a ger who brings bikurim does not say this whole declaration. You know why? Because there are certain words in here that he can't say. Here, the words that the ger cannot say are... Right. The word... Back in Pasuk Gimel, it says, "Amar to the to the Kayin, I declare today before Hashem your God, to Hashem your God, I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our fathers." Can't say Labai Seinu to our fathers because he's a convert, and therefore, according to Rashi, the Torah specified the ger not to say because I would think a ger doesn't have the mitzvah of Bikurim, but because of the fact that there is something different about the ger when he does his mitzvah. And that is, he does not do the mitzvah with the declaration, just with the beginning, with the bringing. Okay, thank you for coming. And I'll thank to all those who will be listening.